The reading of the scripture this morning comes from Mark 8, verses 27 to 38. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one but about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The words of the Lord. Amen.
Well, good morning. Good morning. Is it snowing or raining? Still raining? Oh, good. Praise the Lord. Because I heard another storm was coming. And since I've been here very early, I haven't stepped out. I wasn't sure. With that in mind, I want to do things just a little different this morning, and I pray that it blesses and challenges and encourages each and every one of us. But I want to look at our time more as a kind of a meditation or teaching time that you'll take part in with me this morning. When I come here early on Sunday morning, very early, when all these lights are not on and the lights outside are not on and it's still dark, and you walk right in here, all that you can see is this cross that's lit up from behind. And your attention is just immediately drawn to the cross when you enter this holy place of worship. And this season of the year, that's how our lives should be. We should be reoriented to the cross, as, believe it or not, within a couple of weeks, we will be heading into Lent again. Ash Wednesday's 2 weeks from Wednesday, which is just amazing to me that it's here again already. Earlier in the week, though, I was having a conversation with a small group, and we were on that topic. What does the cross mean for me? What does it mean for you? And I want to just say a little bit to Jesus' words this morning. Those three steps, if you will, that he has recorded in Mark's gospel. But before we go there, let's join our hearts in prayer. Lord, shine your light on us that we may see the truth of the words that you have for each one of us today as you bring us, as you reorient us continually back to the gospel in this life. That it's not a one-time event, but that it's a continual growing in Christ as we have taken a step in the right direction. You have drawn us by your cross, and now we go to and through the cross in all areas of our lives. And so we just pray simply that we would see you in this place this morning, and we would have amazing grace to walk the walk that you have called each one of us to, in Christ's name. Amen. So what is Jesus saying to the disciple today? He's saying to these disciples a certain thing, and I want us to take that time to reflect on the fact that do you realize that the gospel, even though for many it's a point in time when we are saved by faith and we come to Christ, it's not something that just happens And then we kind of move beyond it to something else. It's not just this point and then we're done, but sometimes we treat it that way. And Jesus' words here are central to that fact. We spend a lifetime. In fact, we can spend a lifetime just on the theology of the cross and never plumb the depths of what it really speaks. God can take us there time and again and reveal things to us that we hadn't seen before. In fact, if you were to read this same interaction in Luke's gospel, you find there he says that Jesus says, take up your cross daily. It's not just every now and then or once in a while, but every day we return to this. It's time to take up our cross to follow. That's the heart of the gospel in Christ, is this cross. So today I'm going to call us anew and afresh, if you will, back to this order as faithful followers. As Mark puts it, first of all, deny yourself. Secondly, take up your cross. And thirdly, this allows us to follow. Charles Spurgeon, some of you may be aware of, who was a 19th century preacher, a wonderful pastor and preacher, says this: the heart of the gospel is redemption, and the essence of redemption is the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ. They who preach this truth preach the gospel, and whatever else they may be mistaken. But they who preach not the atonement, whatever else they declare, have missed the soul and the substance of the divine message. We continually go back to the cross in the gospel. Pastor Tim Keller, who is a more contemporary Presbyterian pastor who founded Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York City, says this, and I like his focus on the fact that he keeps drawing us back. He says this: in our Christian life, we never get beyond the gospel to something more advanced. The gospel is not the first step in a stairway of truths. Rather, it's more like the hub of a wheel of truth. The gospel is not just the ABCs, but the A to Z of Christianity. The gospel is not the minimum required doctrine necessary to enter the kingdom. It's the way that we make progress in the kingdom. It's the solution to each problem. It's the key to the closed door. It's the power to take us through every barrier in this life. He goes on to say, it's very common in the church to think as follows: the gospel is for non-Christians. One needs it to be saved, but once saved, you grow through hard work and obedience. But Colossians reminds us that it is purely through grace in Colossians 1, 5, and 6, and it shows that this is a mistake. Both confession and hard work that is not arising from and in line with the gospel will not sanctify you and me, it will strangle us. So it's not about working, it's about grace. All our problems come from a failure to apply the gospel. All problems, personal or social, come from a failure to apply the gospel in a radical way. It's a failure to get in line with the truth of the gospel. All pathologies in the church and all ineffectiveness come from a failure to let the gospel be expressed in a radical way. If the gospel is expounded and applied in its fullness in any church, that church will begin to look very unique. People will find in it both moral conviction, yet compassion and flexibility. So to be real and alive in Jesus, the gospel has to have central focus in our lives daily, not just every now and then. And so we're drawn back to the cross this season of the year, but it should be every day of the year. And so Jesus gives us these three steps, once again, if you will. He says, let those who would come after me deny themselves, take up their cross, and which I think the first two lead to the third, and follow me. In fact, Paul sums up well, if you would allow me, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, simply puts the gospel clearly in these four verses. He says, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you would hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. And then verse 3, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, he says, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scripture, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Now, as I said a moment ago, as we soon come to this Lenten season in 2 weeks, and sacrifice once again becomes a focal point of our lives, I would just leave you with a stirring conviction to consider this: where your faith, your love, and your hope in Jesus Christ has brought you from, where it is taking you to, where it's leading you onward, and then thirdly, where it will take you in the future, eternally speaking. And so I need your help today to teach this message, if you will. Shortly, I'm just going to ask you to consider the cross for yourself today. See, I believe that Mark's record of Jesus' words we just heard come from a heart that understood the gospel, the great depth of love that Jesus Christ ultimately revealed most powerfully through the cross. And it climaxes there, which is once a horrible Roman instrument of torture that has now become the redeemed and a blessed and a privileged thing for those who follow Jesus to carry. Jesus said a lot of things when he walked the earth, whenever he was here in the flesh, incarnate. But he said, at least on two occasions, this: if anyone loves me, then they will obey me. In fact, Jesus answered them and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him or her and make our home with them. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me, from John 14, 23 and 24. And then he goes on to say a little bit later, as the Father has loved me, as he's speaking to his disciples, I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And then we know, very familiar with the interaction that he had with Peter, where he says, if anyone loves me, they will feed my sheep. You know the story, but let me restate it. He said to him the third time, as he's already said twice to him, I love you. But Simon, son of Jonah, he raised the question twice already, do you love me? At which point Peter was grieved, because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and you walked where you wished. But when you get older, you'll stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying what death he would glorify God by. And he had spoken this. As soon as he had spoken this, he says, follow me. And so he laid it out for Peter. Essentially the same thing. You must deny yourself. You must take up a cross and you must follow me. And I think Peter truly learned those steps if we look at his life. In fact, if you were to look throughout the Gospels, there's one point where Peter is in the courtyard in denial, but he's not denying himself. He's denying Christ. And then later on, we see him at Pentecost denying himself and not Christ. And God has raised him up faithfully in that. And we eventually, historically, hear that Peter literally took up a cross and was honored to be sacrificed as a martyr on that cross for Christ. And then he followed, no matter where the Lord led. We see that throughout his life. And so Mark's record of Jesus' words are for you and I afresh today to remind us, to draw us, to reorient us, to bring us back to the cross. Let me just refresh and re-share those words that Jan already shared from the gospel. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? What has it meant to lose your life for the gospel? And secondly, how would you describe this greatest act of love ever given in world history to you today? Now, that's the context I want us to think about today. I was given this cross a couple years ago, and it's a reminder. It's not the one that I'd originally been given, But it reminded me of a statement from my walk to Emmaus, which I took some 20 years ago now. It's hard to believe, you know. I don't know where those years went. But for those who have been a part of the ministry, know that during the weekend, there comes a time at the end of the weekend where you're presented with a statement, and it simply says, Christ is counting on you. And your reply would be, and I am counting on Christ. And so the cross reminds me of that today, and here's where I need your help, church. What does the gospel of Jesus Christ, the cross of Jesus Christ, mean to you? Simply put, it would be a blessing to let your brothers and sisters hear that today. I want to keep this simple. In the earlier service, all we did, I took a cross and I started it down this side and we went back that way and eventually it worked its way back up and then I closed this with prayer. Very simple. But the instruction that I shared was, if you can think of a word or a phrase or an experience in your life that reflects what this means to you, and you can put words to that, praise the Lord and do that. If it's overwhelming and you just want to sit with it and meditate on it and reflect on it, praise the Lord and do that. If you're in a place here today and you have no clue what the cross means to you yet, sit with it and meditate and think on it before you pass it to the next person. And the other comment that I shared that as instruction was that while you're waiting on the cross to come to you, why don't you take a moment and say a prayer that God will give you clarity as it's coming your way. And then also take a moment and lift a prayer for one of those on either side of you this morning, that they would receive clarity as the cross is coming their way. But before I do that, when I consider the cross, there's two references from Paul's writings that come to mind for my own life. Romans 8, verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's because of this cross that I am no longer condemned. Also, Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The hope that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son, who loved me and gave himself for me, which is my hope. Faith, hope, and love. If in the office, in my office back there, there's a plaque that sits on top of one of the bookshelves that was a gift to me from the church in Ohio that we had served. And it has those three words simply on it, faith, hope, and love. And when I look at that plaque from time to time, I remember Paul's words that I had shared earlier from Colossians, where he says this, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up in you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and is growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace in your life. This day, I pray that you truly understand the grace that is bearing fruit in and around you because of the cross at Calvary. That grace which enables you and I to daily take up our cross and follow him whose love never dies and whose love will never go away or fade or grow old, if you will. We sing of an old rugged cross in our hymnal, but it's not an old story that gets old. It's always a new and a fresh story to receive daily. And so, as I said a moment ago, I'll take the cross. I'll start it here on this side in the front row, and Donna will come and share some music while it's being passed. And if you want to give a word or a comment however you are moved to speak and bless the community, please do that today. And then I will close us in prayer. As you hold the cross, I invite you to just take a moment and today, in your heart, consider, what does this mean to me? Holy One, we thank you. I thank you for the chance to experience your community together, recognizing all the many facets of what the cross means. Redemption, salvation, grace, mercy, love, undeserved favor and merit, love that goes beyond our comprehension and understanding. And sometimes we gain insight as we come to your word and we study something we've seen before, but it just is clear to us as it has never been before because your Spirit has opened it up to us. So as we come into this season soon, as I said, remind us that your cross calls us to deny ourselves, not the things that we like, not our habits, not our preferences, but our full self, and to take up our cross daily, which essentially means to die to us so that we can find life in you, and then to follow you. So God, I thank you for the statement that has been made in this sanctuary in faith today, that you have called us to be yours, and a part of that calling is to recognize our need to fully surrender ourselves unto you, and in so doing, receive grace upon grace upon grace to carry the cross. Though only you are the one that could carry the cross that required a sinless, holy being that has never been before, and we thank you so much for that sacrifice of love today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.